I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio. If you've ever had writer's block, you know that inescapable frustration that comes with not being able to write. And for a lot of stressed out writers, it can sound like this. Ow! That was Jane Fonda throwing a typewriter out the window. The clip was from the 1977 film Julia, a movie about the playwright Lillian Hellman. That's just one film, among so many others, about writers who just can't write. The latest movie to take this on is Ruby Sparks. Now, Garen Daly, as a film critic, can you explain why there are so many films about writer's block?
I'm not sure I can explain why. I think that the first thing you can do is that there is an arc, as in all of the American narrative films, and it begins with the fact that the writer is blocked, stopped, can't do anything. There's inertia there. And then there is usually some traumatic experience. It could be a baptism of fire, a baptism of blood. He finds a woman. He has an incredible affair. War happens around him. But for whatever reason.
And you're saying he, by the way. There are some women.
There are some women, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, right.
But the fact of the matter is something external attacks what is happening internally, and then there's this happy ending. So you have an arc that the audience can really enjoy, and at the end, they have produced a piece of art. And again, one of the reasons that it works is because the audience recognizes it. They recognize at the beginning a connection with the writer and the fact that they too are often stuck in the same job. They're bored. They can't figure a way out. So there's a connection that is immediately there. Then it moves into the action, which everyone can enjoy.
So what we're talking about is portraying an essentially internal struggle,
right,
in a way that will have commonality with folks viewing this struggle. So elevating it to, in its universality, to outside influences blocking you, whatever, that you can relate to this situation.
You know, and that's a very difficult thing, too. When you start thinking about it, a writer is sitting in front of a typewriter, an iPad, or whatever, and they are inside. The interior monologue is going on. They don't have the ability to show that physically, which is what film is. So it's very, very difficult. And when you think about the movies that are good about writer's block, there are two really important elements. The first one is whoever is the actor, male or female, whoever is the actor has to be quite good at expressing what's going on inside themselves so that the audience can identify it. The other thing, believe it or not, is the writing for the film has to be good.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if you've got bad writing about somebody who can't write, it's like, oh, who cares?
All right, well, one of the great, I think, writer's block films is Adaptation.
Oh, yeah, I love that film.
So in this scene, Nicolas Cage, playing screenwriter Charlie Kaufman, is sitting in front of his typewriter, staring at a blank piece of paper.
To begin, how to start. I'm hungry. I should get coffee. Coffee would help me think. But I should write something first, then reward myself with coffee. Coffee and a muffin. Okay, so I need to establish the themes. Maybe banana nut. That's a good muffin.
That's a great scene.
Well, and if you haven't seen the film, what you have to understand is he is literally sitting there, it's like a medium close shot of him looking at the typewriter. That's all it is. And his you're hearing the voiceover. He's not doing anything. So it's very, again, what's when I was talking about the writing. That's really good writing, and the fact that he was able to pull it off it says how good the film is.
Well, because Nicolas Cage is somebody that you want to watch. So
in that particular film.
Yes,
we don't want to get into the Nicolas Cage thing.
Yeah, all right, okay, well, that's true. And so here's the question that has to be asked about this, because we've talked about trying to bridge to the universality of the internal struggle in a film with virtually no action. Are these films in danger of being a little bit too insidey? Like if you write for a living, or if you some part of your work or your experience is around writing and therefore you know the struggle, it may have appeal, but for other people, not so much.
Yeah, you have to be worried about that. And I think that's why, I mean, when you take a look at all the films ever made and you take a look at the number of films about writer's block, there's probably a good 10 to 20 out there. And that's not a lot of films. I mean, the quality of those films is very good because, again, for it to succeed, it has to be able to show exactly what we were talking about.
One of the things, and I got to play this next clip from Adaptation. So now we have the same character, Nicolas Cage, finally feeling like as though he has a breakthrough, which is really important. You know, we're making it happen. So in this scene, the Charlie Kaufman character, finally has a breakthrough, and he's pacing around his bedroom, rattling off his big ideas into a handheld tape recorder.
Start right before life begins on the planet. All is lifeless. And then life begins. With organisms. Those little single-cell ones. Oh, and it's before sex. Because, everything was asexual. From there, we go to bigger things. Jellyfish. And then that fish that got legs on it and crawled out on the land. And then we see, you know, dinosaurs. And then they're around for a long, long time. And then an asteroid comes and flork! The insects, the extinct mammals, the primates, monkeys, the simple monkeys, the old-fashioned monkeys giving way to the new monkeys, whatever, and then apes, whatever, and man. Then we see the whole history of human civilization.
What's so great about this is that he really thinks he's cracked it, and then, you know, the next day he listens to this, he's like, what the heck was that all about? It's right back where he started.
And again, that's what makes Adaptation so good is, and again, it's based on Susan Orlean's book,
right.
and what makes it really interesting for me is that Charlie Kaufman, who wrote this, and Spike Jonze, who directed it, were able to take a book that is basically unfilmable and made it into something unique and charming. And I think that's a testament of them as filmmakers.
Well, we should note that the book is quite well written by Susan Orlean. She's a very good writer, as a matter of fact. And also the movie, you know, you got Meryl Streep and Chris Cooper, along with Nicolas Cage. How can you lose on that? So, but did it do well at the box office?
It actually did. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those smaller films. It's obviously not The Avengers, which is, you know, multi-billion-dollar film.
Loved that movie, though.
It was a lot of fun. But this is, again, one of those smaller films that didn't cost a lot to make because there's no big special effects other than having the typewriter sit there. And so it did okay. It made money. It was profitable.
One of the things that is also a theme running through all of these movies, these writer's block movies, so we have the internal struggle of the guy trying to get something out of himself creatively, and then you have the people that he's writing for who are just 9 times out of 10 horrible folk. They're either people from Hollywood who don't appreciate their talent, or they're just other people who just, you know, dust them off as though what they're doing is nothing. And yet you see all the blood they're putting out there trying to be creative.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that you can look at is one of the themes that you see a lot in these films is Hollywood bad, writer good. And you see that time and time again, that the writer goes out to Hollywood and is just consumed by this weirdness that is Hollywood, and it totally overwhelms them. And, you know, for me, it is Barton Fink as one of those great, great films that does that.
Let's take a listen to Barton Fink because it is fabulous. This is the movie Barton Fink. And in this scene, a stressed out scriptwriter is having lunch with a Hollywood executive.
Don't worry about it. It's just a B picture. I bring it in on budget, they book it without even screening it. Life is too short.
Lipnick said he wanted to look at the script, see something by the end of the week.
Stirring joke. Stirring joke. He forgot about it before your ass left the sofa.
Okay. Just having trouble getting started. It's funny, I'm blocked up. I just feel like I need some kind of indication of what's expected.
What do you need, a roadmap?
And the guy's eating the whole time, like really dissing him.
The backstory here too is that the Coen brothers were having writer's block with the film Miller's Crossing, so they wrote this screenplay to get out of having writer's block, and it's wonderful. I mean, and John Goodman is so good in that film,
as he always is. I mean, I love John Goodman. So here's the thing that I found an interesting piece from The Guardian. This was written a couple years ago. Talking about the difficulty of portraying this struggle on screen. And this is the line that I think is very interesting. With writer's block, there's a further issue of what exactly we're supposed to feel bad about, characterized by a lack rather than a presence. We can't see what he or she would do without writer's block, can't mourn books that haven't been written. As a disease, it has no sex appeal. I thought it was very interesting.
It is. And again, when we're talking about film, which is a two-dimensional moving thing with sound, and you're talking about lack is nothing. And to be able to show nothing on screen is the trick for making a very good writer's block movie, because the audience has to understand what that lack is first. You have to set that up. In the new film, Ruby Sparks, Zoe Kazan, who is the granddaughter of Aliyah Kazan, has written a very, very good script and has been able to do that. And the directors are Jonathan Dayton and Valerie Faris, who did Little Miss Sunshine. Mm. And they took her words and did a very nice job of creating a modern spin on the writer's block, where the writer actually creates a character. It's wonderful. It's a nice little film.
Let's listen to the trailer from that movie. And here is a trailer about writer's block from the movie Ruby Sparks.
Why do you think you're not writing?
I don't know. I get a good idea, and then, bam, I start thinking that is the stupidest thing ever.
Tell me about it.
Ruby Sparks, 26 years old, raised in Dayton, Ohio.
Why Dayton?
Sounds romantic. Ruby got kicked out of high school for sleeping with her art teacher, or maybe her Spanish teacher. I haven't decided yet.
I'm glad you found something that inspires you.
Inspires me? It's like I'm falling in love with her.
It's wonderful.
I can't fall in love with a girl I write.
Why not?
Because she's not real.
It's just, I've seen the trailers. They're just so charming and wonderful, and it's getting great reviews.
It is. It's a really good film, and it really is charming. And what's charming about it is it will cut across, you know, generations. You should be able to enjoy that film if you're young or old.
Now, the thing about the Ruby Sparks trailer and what I've read about it is that, so at the center is a writer with writer's block, but this other story that's surrounding it is so universal. Here's a quote from a movie review from Mick LaSalle from the San Francisco Chronicle. He said, if you had the ability to control your husband or wife, boyfriend or girlfriend, would you use it and how often? And if you did, where would that lead? And so a movie about the power of the imagination really becomes a movie about a certain element of surrender, about the release of power that is practically a requirement for loving somebody. Because we should emphasize that Ruby Sparks is the imagination of this writer who comes to life, and everybody can see her, not just him.
I had a chance to talk with both Faris and Dayton, as well as Ms. Kazan. And believe it or not, the inspiration for this film is Groundhog Day.
Really?
Yes, because it
love that movie, by the way.
And you know, Zoe said that she had seen it a thousand times.
Me too.
But the thing that makes this film work and makes Groundhog work, it's about a man going through different stages of life and different stages to learn how to truly love another person and to get outside himself. So when you're talking about writer's block, that's an internal struggle. And when you're talking about the characters in Groundhog Day and in Ruby Sparks, the protagonist is also having an internal struggle emotionally. And the ability to get outside of that and learn from that so that he can experience life more fully is how both of those films succeed in being uplifting in a way.
But why did the writers choose the writer's block as a device? Because given what you've just said, you could obviously go many different directions.
Well, in case of Ruby Sparks, the reason was that they wanted to be able to just not explain how Ruby came about.
Mm.
All right, so they just needed something just to get to that point. And to get to that point, he had to be a writer. He had to have a writer's block. And he created somebody, which then offered all sorts of opportunities. When you watch the film, you'll see that they don't spend any time at all explaining about it.
Mm.
As in Groundhog Day, there's no real explanation.
That's true. It just
happens.
That's true.
The audience goes along with it because it is doable, it is acceptable, and you find yourself moving with the characters. Again, because it's well-written.
Now, one of the challenges, of course, with a modern movie about writer's block is that we don't have some of those old physical kinds of pieces that help people understand a writer is writing, like the typewriter. So we moved to the computer, but, you know.
Well, you're perfectly right. I mean, we talked about Julia from 1977. There is a wonderful scene in Julia where she is so frustrated with everything, and we played a little bit of that clip.
Yeah.
She just is throwing paper. She's getting drunk at night. She's smoking cigarettes. She's disheveled. There's a pile of paper by the waste paper basket, and that's how you show that struggle. So the question now becomes, how are we going to show that struggle?
Exactly.
And interestingly enough, I mean, in Ruby Sparks, they just don't even really deal. They turn it into a psychiatrist. That's where he goes to explain his issues about trying to write, and he can't write.
So, but you know, so beyond Ruby Sparks, I mean, I don't know what you do, because it, looking at the computer screen, as we learned in the movie, which didn't have anything to do with writer's block, You've Got Mail.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, you know, key clicking back and forth between Tom Hanks and I'm just blanking on her name.
Meg Ryan.
Thank you, Meg Ryan, who were emailing them each other back and forth.
Right.
And after a while, that got a little old.
Yeah, and I think that's actually one of the failures of that film was that it did get old. I mean, you can, if we're going to sit here and try and figure it out, we could say, well, the writer has a predilection for an old Corona, or you know, or an IBM Selectric, or an old, you know, Uniroyal, or what, something. And so you can just switch it that way and just move on. But I think that the problem will always be for the writers is not so much the physical showing of the writing.
Mm.
I think the question is, how do you get that interior monologue? I mean, it's one of the issues that you see, like, in The Wonder Boys, which is a wonderful film with Tobey Maguire and Mike Douglas. Michael Douglas?
Yes.
Yeah, Michael Douglas. Is a young writer who writes something that's extraordinary. And then they have to follow that up. That is a conflict. And in Wonder Boys, you have the older Wonder Boy and you have the newer younger boy. So you're able to work it. So you don't really think about the actual typing of the stories because you've turned it into something else. How do you succeed after you've been so successful at an early age? And at what price? Because part of the problem that a lot of these young writers have is they get trapped by their own audience. Mm. Their own audience tells them what they kind of expect, and they have to reach those expectations, and it's overwhelming.
That's exactly what happens in You Will Meet a Tall, Dark Stranger. This is the Woody Allen film. So let's listen to a little bit of this. And in this scene, Roy is arguing with his wife because he's just quit his job as a chauffeur.
I can't write all night and then drive in the daytime. You know, I fell asleep at the wheel.
Oh, God. Wait, are you okay? Did anyone get hurt?
Look, I need time to work on my book.
When are you going to finish that book anyway? I mean, how many times can you write and tear up and rewrite these chapters? It's like you're scared to finish.
Okay, you know what? You're right. I'm gun shy. I can't handle it if it's confirmed yet again that all those nice things predicted about me were wrong, that I was a flash in the pan.
What? Stalling is not the answer.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
That says it all.
It does. And, you know, it reminded me that another issue that you have with writer blocks films is that the person who is blocked is trapped inside themselves. They don't know how to get out, but they're trapped inside themselves. They're expressing all sorts of frustration. Before I came on, I was reading about how real writers get out of writer's blocks. And one psychologist was saying that usually writer's block happens because of your fear of whoever is around you, whatever your relationship. If it's your mother, if you succeed, she's going to be disappointed. If you don't succeed, she's going to be disappointed. It's your wife. And if she's doing something along similar lines and you succeed and you leave her in the dust, there's going to be problems there. So it's that interior struggle is always going on. And it may not be really obvious to the blocked writer, especially in the movies, what it is that's going to get them out. Which is why many of these films have external issues coming in, whether it is in Ruby Sparks, a young woman, whether it's in Barton Fink, an explosion of violence. Something happens that changes externally that forces the internal monologue to change and alter.
Since we know that what's important about these films is that they must be well written, when you think about writer's block films, which ones would you say are just exquisitely written?
Whoa, that's a tough. I mean, there is a film that I really, really like that explains not only writer's block, but the creative process. And it's directed by one of my favorite directors, Wim Wenders. It's called Hammett. And it's about Dashiell Hammett. And it's about Dashiell Hammett, who can't write and actually has an adventure a la Sam Spade, Philip Marlowe, a detective. And at the end, he takes all of his experiences and twists them slightly into something new and different. And it's in that showing of that I found it really, really creative and enjoyable. But there's also, you know, like there's The Shining. That's really good. Lost Weekend, which is a lot of people don't realize is about a man going on a bender because he can't write. In the original source material, it's because he was homosexual, but Hollywood could not really deal with that at the same time, so he got writer's block.
Okay.
It became convenient. You know, The Wonder Boys is really good. The Hours is really good. Secret Window, Barfly, Misery. It's interesting to note that someone as prolific as Stephen King
has
two novels or two stories about someone with writer's block.
So that means that he's experienced it at some point.
Yeah.
I have to say that I think Shakespeare, Midnight in Paris, one of Woody Allen's most recent ones, and I'm, you know, ambivalent about Woody Allen, I have to say, was really interesting to me because it does so beautifully written, and you know, it focuses on writer's block in a really interesting way.
And he ends up talking to a lot of great writers to get himself out of that writer's block.
Exactly. That's what I think is just so fascinating. So that's what we all do when we're staring at the screen, I can tell you firsthand. I'm looking forward to Ruby Sparks, and I'm always looking forward to a conversation with you, Garen Daly. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Callie.
I'm Callie Crossley. We've been talking about writer's block and why so many movies have been made about writers who can't write. And I've been speaking with film critic Garen Daly, our film critic. If this is a topic you can't get enough of, Ruby Sparks is in the theaters now. This week, minority police officers roll out their own newsletter. Chick-fil-A gets an extreme makeover at a local bar, and an embattled lawmaker returns to the campaign trail. We'll get to those stories and more when we review the news that went under the radar. I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio. We'll be right back.